And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I'm giving you today. Now let's see what some of them are. Verse 7 and 8. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you are away on a journey, when you are lying down and when you're getting up again. Tie them to your hands as a reminder and wear them on your forehead. When's the last time you saw a guy with a little sign that says, "Remind me to teach my children about God today"? You ever seen that? Why do we not do this? Well, let me ask you this question. I won't ask you to hold up your hand because I don't want you to feel intimidated. But how many of you men that are like that do not hold up your hand? I'm just asking a question. Since God required this, how many of you men, as fathers, as dads, have taught your children from the day they were born until they were grown the Word of God? Almost nobody. Almost nobody. I mean, men don't have time today. They got time for working, playing, doing everything except God. They don't teach their children about God. I mean, you know, I think this morning I went to my little one first grader, my little grandson. He's playing football. I mean, first grade. Whenever I was going to school, we started playing football in the seventh grade. You know, seventh grade was the first year you could play football. When my son, Preston's daddy, when Tim was three in the third grade, that's when they started playing football in the third grade. But now then, my son's son, my grandson, he's playing football in the first grade. These little guys trip on their own feet out there trying to go. It's so funny watching them. You know, it's just something, how they run into each other and everything else. It was amazing. You know, I just, in awe. Now, they played about, what, I guess, honey, five or six games this year so far, and we've been to most of them, but I think that what they're doing out there and how those coaches are teaching those little boys about football. But if you ain't got a daddy at home that's teaching them about the Word of God, that football is going to do no good for them. It's going to hurt them. They will get hurt. It's amazing. But you, just like my little grandson, he come over the other day, and of course, Grandma here, he said, "Grandma, I want you to pray before we go play football tomorrow." She said, "What do you want me to pray for?" He said, "First thing I want you to pray for is that nobody will get hurt." He didn't say that we win. That was not his goal. See, he hadn't even got to the point yet. He don't care who wins or loses. He just wants to be out there having fun. You know, and that's the way it should be. But, of course, those coaches, some of those guys are not really just out there for the child. They want to look good themselves. "I've raised up this team. Look at these guys. We're going to the playoffs." First grade, I'll have to say. Give me a break. You know, it's just amazing, you know, how that we do this. Now then, we do all these things, but yet God said in His Word here, we as fathers are to teach our children about Him. And what did it say? Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about these things about God when you're at home and when you're away on a journey, when you're lying down and when you're getting up again. Tie them to your hands as a reminder and wear them on your forehead. And the average child, by the time they're 10 years old, can't quote a single verse from God's Word. And you want to know why we're losing our children? Want to know why we're going to universities that we have allowed men to come in? If we had taught our children right, and then we had hired some crazy guy that don't believe in Christian things, and he gets up and says, "You know, how many of you kids in this class, how many of you young people in this class believe there's a God?" Every one of them stood up and said, "I do." Now what do you think he's going to do? If he's outnumbered 50 to 1, and he says, "Well, why? Let me ask you a question. Why do you believe there's a God?" And he starts out saying, "Well, let's see. Let me tell you, when I was 5 years old, first of all, my daddy read the Bible to me all the time. And then when I was 5 years old, I hurt myself real bad on a bicycle, and I was screaming and crying, and my granddaddy walked out, and he laid his hands on me and said, 'Jesus bore my pain,' and he guaranteed me I'd have no pain, and instantly the pain went away." He said, that was the beginning of my miracles with God. And then as I went through life, I had certain things happen, and my daddy would pray for me, or if my daddy wasn't there, I'd go find my granddaddy, and he'd pray for me. And every time one of them prayed for me, whatever they prayed for happened. That's why I believe there's a Jesus. So how much, and Professor, how much have you been sick in your life? Well, I maybe have or haven't. He said, but I don't have no sickness. In my home, we don't have any sickness. We obey God. Me and my sisters and brothers and my mom and dad, we have never been to a hospital. We've never had any surgery in our home. And God promises in His Word that if we would obey Him, He would take all sickness away from us. And we've believed God in my home, and we've never spent a dime on a health care plan, and we've never spent a dime in a hospital. Is that going to talk to somebody? But see, the average Christian can't say that. Because the average Christian is just as sick as anybody else. Now you show me your God when He can do something. And that's what they want to know. Let me see your God. That's just like the day that I got a hold of this word sozo. This young lady and her husband brought Cheryl and me a shirt that says sozo on it. Obviously she's listened to me teach about sozo. Well, that word sozo, which is right up there underneath the red cross in little bitty letters, S-O-Z-O, 25 or 30 years ago, I didn't know what that word meant. But God had an appointment with me one day, and whenever I came to that scripture, I had a brand new computer. Now, back in those days, you had a desktop computer. This was back in 81 or 82. I had a desktop computer that had a green screen with no graphics that I give $6,000 for. It didn't even have a hard drive. It had 2 5-and-a-quarter floppy disks. But I was in the elite. I mean, I got the best thing there is, you know. I didn't know what I had, but by having this and buying the software on it, I could do all kinds of things I could never do with books. So I'm reading in the Bible one day. And I have everything synchronized now. I got the King James Bible over here. I got the Hebrew or Greek synchronized that runs right along with it. And then I got the Hebrew and Greek dictionary right down below it. Well, I happened to come to this wonderful promise in Romans 10. I want us to go there. I want you to see this. After we went there to where we were in Deuteronomy, I want you to know, men, that if you don't do this, I want you to start making God a promise you will do that for your children. Since He commanded us to do it, don't you think it would pay good dividends if we did what He said? I think it would pay great dividends if we would do what God says. In fact, I've been thinking about making some little hats and putting a little sign on the bill that says, "Remind me to teach my children today about God," and just see what God will do with that. Here a while back, He just kind of struck my heart with it. You need to make some hats. And maybe give them away, like I do everything else. I give everything away. Romans 10, 8 and 9 is where I want to go. Romans 10, 8 and 9. Look here. Salvation that comes from trusting Christ, which is the message we preach, is already within easy reach. In fact, the Scripture says the message is as close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. Verse 9. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I happened to highlight the word saved. When I highlighted the word saved, it highlighted the word in the Greek text, sozo, S-O-Z-O. Well, now, I had never heard of the word sozo. I am definitely not a Greek scholar. I'm a farm boy. You know, I did go to school, but I didn't study Greek or Hebrew or none of that stuff. And when it pulled in the word sozo, down at the bottom of the screen, it pulled in saved, healed, made whole, delivered, and preserved. Now then, that word in the Greek text, sozo, means those five things. Now, I want you to listen very carefully at what I'm going to tell you now. That if that word in verse 9 there that says that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. The word in the Greek is sozo. You'll be sozo. So now then, let's take the word saved out and put one of those other words in there. Healed. Or take that one out and put made whole in there. Or preserved. Or delivered. You see? It says the same thing. Now, the people that understood the Greek language back in those days, when they saw the word sozo, they just knew it meant all those things. It was all inclusive. But I didn't know this because I don't speak anything but Texas English. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be sozo. Okay, so can I put the word healed in there? Now, if I put the word healed in there and I read it, that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, I'll be healed. Is that what I could do? Absolutely. So that's what I did. In fact, before that, when I got a hold of that, I asked the Lord a question. I said, Lord, I said, Lord, first of all, I took the word sozo and I went back in the computer and I said, computer, tell me everywhere the word sozo is used in the Greek New Testament. And I went back to Matthew, and it went all the way through from Matthew to Revelation, and it says, and this is how quick it can do this, it says the word sozo is used 120 times in 102 different verses in the New Testament. I thought, 120 times? So I went back to the first one. I looked up the word sozo. I went back to the very first one in Matthew, and I started reading. And it would be translated healed or health or made whole or delivered or preserved or saved or whatever. But all those words were used all throughout from Genesis, from Matthew to Revelation. It took me hours to read those 120 verses. So after I read all these, I said, Lord, I am more confused right now than I've ever been. And if this means what it appears that it means, you got to remember, I was raised up in a Baptist church, you know. And they don't talk about healing in a Baptist church. You know, I mean, you might have been raised up in a church that don't talk about healing either. I don't know. Because I know Church of Christ don't. Methodists don't very much. You know, Lutherans. I mean, there's lots of people don't talk about the healing power of Jesus. So I just didn't know nothing about it. But I'm studying on my own now. And when I said, Lord, I am more confused than I've ever been. I said, after reading 120 places in your word, 120 that talks about I'm either saved or healed or delivered or preserved or made whole.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Declare Your Faith and Redemption from the Curse, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.